Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
We're in a series called Soul Success, and this is really, honestly, one of the things I think would radically impact your soul, is to know what your soul deserved before Jesus. Because it deserved it. Well, I'm not that bad. One lie. Raise your hand if you've never told one lie. One glance with sexual desire at the wrong person. I mean, you can't even watch TV without getting a commercial jamming it in your face. You deserved it. But God rescued your soul. Rescued you. Himself. The ultimate superhero. The first Superman. Where all the other stories come from. Romeo and Juliet was based on Jesus. Superman is based on Jesus. It's all based on Jesus, whether they know it or not. Because there is no greater love story. There is no greater sacrifice. There is no greater reward. There is no less deserving person that gets the greatest person. Any story that you can filter through that you think is like the movie or the story or the book, you take it back to its roots. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. If it impacts your soul, it's Jesus. The enemy can't do that. Third John chapter 1, verse 2, there's only one chapter, says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper. You can leave that on, son, it's fine. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in, not visit, not stop by for a chat, not experience one time in that really cool, radical worship service, not go to that one conference with that one preacher who did that one thing that one time. Be in. For those of you that are struggling with the thought process here, it's been raining a lot here. Being in the rain is way different than knowing about the rain. We were in Colorado. It was dry. I mean, the first morning I woke up, and I took a shower and blew my nose, and it was blood. Because we went from super crazy, humid Mexico to super crazy, arid, like zero humidity in the air. And it was like body shock for us. Dry. There's a difference between being in the rain and me looking at a Facebook post of Gator's garage being flooded in Pearl City. I can look at it. I can almost even imagine it. because I helped with the flood relief in Pearl City. But I wasn't in the ring. Knowing that people get healed, even knowing that healing is God's will, even knowing that healthy is God's will, I want you to get this. Above all things. Above all things. Now, obviously, he's talking to the beloved, which are the ones that are in Christ. Because if there's one thing that God desires above all things for all man, for all time, it's that they come to repentance and be saved. But he's not talking to the world here. He's talking to you, the beloved, the ones in Christ. Above all things, after you're in Christ, one, I want you healthy. I want you prosperous. I don't know why we don't get this. And for a preacher, you want to be, if you ever want to experience incredible amounts of persecution, desire to be a preacher who preaches health and wealth. They will get you. I have been lambasted from nearly every continent on the planet. I have people in other countries emailing me. How dare you talk about... You... Shut up. Not even your business. You're not in my church. If you don't like it, shut me off. There's a stop button somewhere on your computer. Why are you listening to me from another continent so you can criticize me? If you don't want to be healthy, die. I mean, what's the alternative? If you don't want to be wealthy, fine, go live under a bridge and mess on yourself. If that's what you want to, go. Shut me off. Listen to some broke, whatever preacher. Deathly sick, broke preacher. There's only like two options. Well, all things in moderation. Do you know that's not a verse? Does anybody know that that's not actually a verse in the Bible, all things in moderation? We hear people say that all the time, usually to justify their sin. Well, I'm just a little fat. Hey, man, I better get back to... I wish above all things. Above all. Anybody know what all means in the Greek? Above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. There is something that is so important for every single eye, ear, and heart in this building, on that Beloved Church Media page, on that podcast page, to get. The degree of your legitimate health and prosperity is going to be exactly equivalent to the amount of prosperity you allow your soul to experience. Period. This is, and you could put an equals. If we were doing an algebraic equation, I could say divine health, perfect divine health, and perfect divine prosperity equals perfect soul health. If you right now are struggling in your finances or in your physical health, it has a derivative. Its root is in your soul. No, it's from asbestos, or it's because the weather changed, or it's because... Okay. Those might be factors to it, and I'm not arguing that we don't live in a natural world and there are natural things that come at you, but they don't have a right to penetrate you. What in the world gets through the blood of... Can someone please tell me something of this natural world that can get through the blood of Jesus Christ backed by the Holy Spirit? No, anybody? Anything? A cold, please. There's got to be like a super flu virus, right? That can actually penetrate through the blood of Jesus Christ and can fight against the Holy Spirit and then break in and then give you the flu. The swine flu? Avian, bird flu. I mean, it's got, some animal has a flu that can get through the blood of Christ into you. I'm not saying those things don't exist. I'm just saying they don't have a right to exist in you. Amen. Hallelujah. really going to like this. Thank you, Pastor Dennis. Now, this word wish, you might be thinking like it's, you know, once you wish upon a star. You know, God existed before Walt Disney. And this is not wish as in, you know, there's a shooting star, take a wish. Or you find a four-leaf clover. That's all garbage. This word wish is actually, it comes from a spiritual desire. Now, the reason that it's not pray, and even some translations translate it as pray, and even sometimes when I quote it as pray because I want to make sure it stays in a spiritual context, but this word wish is actually the best use because it's not something you can pray. I can't pray soul prosperity into you. Trust me, if I could, y'all... Pastor Appreciation Month or day would be unhinged. I can't pray that into you. And here, now this is another radical thought. Neither can God. He desires this for you. He proved it by a bloody cross. This is what He wants for you. He can't force you into it. He can't send an angel to buffet you. There's not going to... there's not going to be some super spiritual guy, you know, besides Steve Castle, because you might not receive from him, you know, that flies in, a guest minister, and just slaps you upside the head with glory, and you're just, oh, now I get it. It's not going to happen. This is something you either do or you don't do. You choose, you will to, or you choose and will not to. If you're struggling with oppression, depression, if you have demonic activity, if you have, it is you. Now, me just saying that is going to... Well, so I didn't ask for it. You don't have to ask for it. You live in a fallen, jacked-up world. It's all around you. All you have to do is just allow it to happen. The Bible says that you have to resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Which means right now, at this second, if you are not resisting him, you're giving him access. We think that it's like a switch. Like, okay, devil, do stuff. Okay, stop. And you make like a conscious decision. No, here's the decision. You're either resisting and pushing him, or you're tired and worn out. You need someone to pray for you, so you call 100 people on a prayer line, and they're going to... You just lose. It's either you are resisting him, or he is invading you. There's like a demilitarized zone, a DMZ. You're either guarding that zone and you've got sniper rifles and 50 cal and helicopters and... Or you're back at the house having dinner and you wonder why North Korea came in and owned your kids. This is why it says Proverbs chapter 4, "My son, attend unto my words, incline an ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are health unto those that find them, and flesh, marrow to your bones. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life." Did you hear that list? And some people will hear those things and they'll get all legalistic. Also, I got to read the Bible and pray and stuff. No. Go sit on the couch. Watch soap operas and the devil will kill you. You don't have to do nothing. You can lay down and he will take advantage of you all day and all night. And you'll call me and you'll want me to do something for you. And I'll try. I will. I love you. I'll try. I'll give it my best shot. But if you're going to lay in the bed with him, don't come to me when you're pregnant. I am not an abortionist. I can't get rid of that stuff for you. If you go lay in the bed with him, you'll get pregnant with his stuff. And if that's offensive to you, then you need to pull James out of your Bible, because that's what the first chapter of the book of James is. Say, if you go and play around with him, you will get pregnant by him. It doesn't work the way it works in society, to where you just get to go create a bunch of problems and then go find someone to fix all your problems. God is not your mechanic. That ain't what he does. God creates life and rested. You can either take advantage of what he created and allow it to create in you, or you can let the weeds and the birds and all the stuff that Jesus said comes to kill you,
take over.
This is a godly desire. This word wish is a godly desire. And it trumps all other desires for you as a Christian. But again, cannot be forced. God is a gentleman. He does not make you have a prosperous soul. What He does is He makes everything available to you so that you can. You know that little electronic device that you're affectionately addicted to? You know that sucker can preach to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and show you every scripture in about 100 different translations? Or you can watch porn. That phone you got is amoral. It has no morality. If you make it a Holy Ghost preacher, or you can make it a devil in your pocket. Your choice. I actually believe that technology was made available by the Spirit of God. I don't think some dude came up with the technology that the entire world can be connected wirelessly, and you can get any piece of information anytime, anywhere, on nearly any device. I don't think, man did not come up with that. That's God. And it was for the gospel, and it was for the kingdom, and this is what people do with it when they don't have the right purpose. Remember, if you remember back, that I preached a series on purpose. And if you don't have God's purpose, any old purpose will do. This is where a bunch of people in the body of Christ, even some folks in this church, that's why you're kind of stumbling. You kind of feel like you're on a hamster wheel. Like you just don't feel like you're getting ahead because you might be heading a direction. You might even be heading a direction really hard and running. You know, hamsters on them wheels, I mean, they're getting it. Getting it. They're not going anywhere. Just because you're moving doesn't mean that you're going somewhere. Even just because you have a focus on where you're going. When I was in Boy Scouts, if you ever got lost, one of the things that my Boy Scout leader taught us was if you're ever in a forest and you get lost, the way that you get out of it is you look at a distant object that's in a straight, exact line, and you walk until you get to that object. And then when you get to that object, you pick another exact straight line object that's another 200-400 yards out there, and you do not take your eyes off of it, and you walk directly towards it. And you will walk a straight line. The reason that they had to teach us that in Boy Scouts is because you know what kills most people that get lost in the wood? Walking in circles. They don't know they're walking in circles. They're walking hard, and they're walking long, and they're... And most people in life, they're walking in a circle. They don't realize it because the circle might take 3 years or 10. But if you look at your life today, and it's not like gloriously God changed from it what it was 20 years ago, if financially or health, listen, folks, just because you get older doesn't mean you have to get sicker. Is that a word? God didn't build you so you get older and worse. I don't know if you know that or not. God actually built you so you get older and better. Amen? And I know you're going to quote me scripture, though the outward man perisheth. Your outward man will die. Existing on this planet is a terminal experience. I get it. But you get to die. Did I lose anybody? You can actually choose to die. Like, I went to a cross with Jesus. Galatians 2:20. I was crucified with Him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, Christ in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave His life for me. I decided to go to the cross. Instead of waiting for it to come and sneak up on me when I'm 82 or something like that and catch me in the middle of the night, I decided to go to the cross and die one time, and we'll just get that out of the way. One less thing we got to do at the end of it. So I'm going to go ahead and get stronger, if you don't mind. Like, you don't have to. I'm not going to drag anybody with me, but I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be healthier. My eyesight's going to be better. I'm going to make my hair thicker and darker. I know you all love the gray and you think it's awesome and And I know there's scriptures for it, so I'm kind of... But I'm declaring dark hair and thick hair and no wrinkles and bright eyes and good hearing and good skin and good joints and... I know, you don't have to. You think I'm some kind of weirdo. I'm telling you, I am God normal, and you are a world normal. You think that you're supposed to die and all these things are supposed to fall apart. The commercials have taught you well. Amen. And you'll buy their stuff, because they promise you that if you buy their stuff, that some of these things will go away. Sucker. They ain't going to fix nothing. Jesus is the only one that fixes stuff. The rest of it's just a salve. Check this out. Psalms 35:27. This is right out of the heart of God. This is the Holy Spirit. If you didn't get it in 3 John verse 2, please get it here. Let them shout for joy and be glad.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. I mean, the Word of God literally just told you to do something. All right, never mind. Let them shout for joy and be glad. You guys, I am going to rebuke you. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor... Really? That favor my righteous cause. His righteous... So what is God's righteous cause that he wants to favor into your life? Let them say continually. You words are involved with this. Some of you have what you've been saying for years. And you hate it. But you made it. You need to quit saying it. The book of James says, this little sucker right here will set the whole world on fire. And if you don't tame this little sucker right here, it'll set your whole world on fire. You got to tame this thing. It literally says you put bits and bridles in horses' mouth to get them to do what you want. If you got to bite your tongue, you bite that sucker till it bleeds. But don't speak something that the enemy wants to birth into your life and give it an ability to conceive in the womb of your mouth. And then you spew it out and then you wonder what you're going to do with a little baby that you just made. Don't say it. Here's what you do instead. Let them say continually. Well, I mean, brother, nobody can talk that way all the time. Jesus did. One time he got irritated at a tree, and what happened? Let no man eat fruit of you for a year after. Last day that tree took a breath if they breathe. I mean, that was it. What did he do to the storm? Peace. Cut that sucker off at the knees. I mean, literally, anybody ever been on like a really big body of water, like a gulf or like Lake Michigan or anything like that? Okay, me? Okay, four. You people need to get out of the cornfields. What is wrong with you? Go see the world. Dear Jesus. Anyway, on a large body of water, if there's a storm, especially a really intense storm, you know, the waves and all that kind of stuff, they last for hours or days. Because anybody know the ripple effect like you do? I mean, it takes a long time. Jesus calmed the storm and the storm ceased. But the scriptures say that immediately it was calm. The waves were calm. He didn't just like storm stop and then, you know, in 5 minutes, like the clouds kind of dried up and the rain kind of drifted off. It was like peace. Boom. Calm water, no storm, sunlight, and the disciples going, whoa, man. This is like movie stuff. But this is actually what the movie... This is. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Why does the Lord want you to express divine health, divine prosperity, and soul success? Why does God want that to happen? Because it will be the imprint of DNA of Him on you, and people will see you and say, And there's got to be a God.
Yes.
And he's got to be a good God. Look what happened. That person is a loser. And then something changed. They became healthy. They became filled with joy. They got money. Dang it. What happened? Jesus. I can tell you, without Jesus, I know some of you tolerate Steve Castle right now. And this is with Jesus. No, imagine me before. If you've ever wanted to know how much grace my wife has, she married the Steve Castle that didn't have Jesus. Well, I mean, like right in that. She was with the Steve Castle that didn't have Jesus. Think about that. You tolerate me now with Jesus. She loved me before Jesus. Crazy. God loved me before Jesus. God loved me before Kay. If Kay's crazy, what does that make God? Sane. Crazy saint. Because he knew what was in me. He knew what he created. He knew the created part of me, and he was going to love me until it came out. Praise God. Praise God. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, not let Steve Castle be magnified, Dennis was just talking about it. If your desire to get wealth is so that you can say, hey, you want to touch my cool new car? I can tell you, some things are going to change when some folks in this church starts manifesting the wealth that they have. Because it will be like, hey, you want to touch this car that God gave me? Yeah. You want to touch it with the keys in your hand and the title? Amen. Kay and I, and listen, I'm trying to magnify the Lord with this, so listen to the story. Kay and I gave a house away. It was awesome. I can't wait to do it again. We gave a house away. And when we gave a house away, you should have seen the couple. They listen to our podcasts and stuff, so I'm not going to call them out, but they're going to know who they are. We haven't given that many people houses. Yet. Praise Jesus. Anyway, they were both ex-cons. They both were in prison for bad stuff. They were bad people. They were bad people that did bad stuff. Went to prison. Just in case you didn't know, most of the people in prison do bad stuff. And they got radically, radically saved. I think both of them got saved in prison, and they came out. So anyway, they couldn't do nothing. Oh, Dennis and Marty know them. Went to church together. They couldn't get anything to really work because they were ex-cons, so they couldn't get loans for cars, and so they had to get cars cash. They couldn't get loans for houses, so they had to live in apartments. And living in an apartment, you're just foolish. Sorry. If you're in an apartment, just let it be a transitionary thing until you can start building your own wealth by owning your own property. It's okay to be there, but don't desire to stay there for the rest of your life. And so anyway, God had a call in their life. They actually, since then, they've started multiple ministries. We actually get to, when I get to heaven, God will let me know what my return is on helping this couple, because they've started multiple ministries. Two different ministries in Africa and two different ministries here in the States. They've started at least four ministries that I know of. And we got to be a part of that by giving them a house. And I will never forget, we had a fireplace probably about as wide as this cross. Is this pretty? Am I allowed to say pretty? I don't know if a guy's allowed to say, this is pretty awesome. Gordon, Craig, Scott, Aaron, where's Aaron? Oh, we wore him out so much he could. Who am I missing? James. Did I get everybody? Deborah. This is five, six guys and 15 hours.
We just eliminated the excuses, and we showed up and did it. And you're going to probably find something that might not be perfect, but I ain't done anything perfect in my whole life. Anyway, when we had a fireplace that was probably about that big, maybe a little longer, and it was all brick that went around it. And they were sitting on the brick, and Kay and I were kind of talking to them. So this couple, this beautiful couple, was sitting on a brick, and Kay and I were like, and they had just got, we just had them over for dinner. We like totally like secret, we were all sly. And we just had them over for dinner, and we were loving on them. And so they were sitting on the fireplace and enjoying the fire, and we were just kind of chatting with them. And they literally just got done telling us, almost in tears, about their latest attempt at trying to own a home, which is where they tried to go. This is back in the day, and they've actually changed a bunch of the laws, but back in the day, you could do a buy from owner kind of a thing where you got this little shady contract and you give this owner of the property a bunch of money and you supposedly are buying this house from the owner, but they just jacked them on it and they lost like $5,000 on this house, and then it needed $20,000+ worth of foundation stuff, and so they basically kind of just walked away and lost all this money, and it was just a bad, bad, bad deal. And then Kay and I were like, hey, by the way, we're going to give you our house. And I'll never forget this couple in a godly way coming undone at the goodness of God. And they magnified the Lord. I don't even talk to them that much. They didn't magnify Stephen K. Castle. Praise Jesus. Because some folks don't know how to do. They knew it was Jesus. They knew it was Jesus. To this day, I could give you their phone numbers. You could call them and they will tell you that Jesus gave them a house. Not Stephen K. Castle. It might have come through us, but it was not from us. And God wants that to be a declaration in everybody's life. You should be saying continually. If you've ever talked to my parents or been in their house, this happens all the time. If you walk in their house, you see that right there? God gave us that in 1972. You see that right there? God gave us that. You see that? Yeah, I carried that. That sucker's heavy. God gave us that, and God gave us that, and God gave us that. I know, God gave you everything. Hold on, it's just the first floor. Let the Lord be magnified for those who can continually say that God literally has pleasure. Do you want to please God? Okay, half the church. We'll get the other half saved yet. You watch. I am after you. If you want to please God, you know what pleases God? Let Him prosper you. That is pleasing to God. Do I have any parents in the room? Is it pleasing to you as a parent to see your kids doing better than you? To see your kids missing some of the struggles that you had to endure? To see your kids maybe learn from you, listen to you, I know it's crazy, to actually listen to you and learn from you some stupid, dumb things that you did that they don't have to do because you can tell them don't do that. Yeah, all the parents are, God is a parent. You know that He would like to walk you through the paths of life. That every path, it might go through the valley of the shadow of death, but it won't get on you. You'll fear no evil, for God is with you. His rod and His staff, it comforts you. He wants to take you to green pastures. He wants to take you to still waters. And if you are led by His Spirit, you will go to all those places every single day. He doesn't have some plan. Well, you know, they've been having really good days for 10 days, so I think we need to give them something, you know, just to shake them up. What do you think, Jesus? Oh, yeah, blast them, Dad. All right, sick and bad bill and car broke down and... Amen. We were in Mexico and came back at, it was like midnight or one. Who picked us up from Mexico? Someone did. Yeah. No, Dale. Morning. Dale. Dale, who? Oh. We got back at like midnight, and we had to be in at the airport. We left at 6:45, or we tried to. So we were home for like whatever that is, 7 hours, 6 hours. And we had to do like 3 loads of laundry and all this stuff. And so anyway, we slept for a couple hours. And the dryer broke. It took her 3 hours to dry one load of towels. And it wasn't drying, it was just tumbling. And finally, I guess the water just decided to say, fine, quit, I'll leave. And I didn't know about it until, because I was doing my own thing. I was catching up on the computer. And we were halfway through our Colorado trip, and she's like, yeah, it's going to be creative when I get home because I'm going to have to do laundry and we've got no dryer. I'm like, what do you mean we've got no dryer? She's like, well, it broke. And it's been breaking for a while. We've had Craig work on it. I mean, we bought it when the kids were little. And, you know, in the past, I would have been like, I got dryer with the thing and the stuff and $1,000. I was just like, hey, baby, you want to go get a new dryer on Monday after we get back and things get normal? She's like, okay. I get to go shopping with my baby for a dryer. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. You know, the enemy set me up. Like, take this, break your dryer. So you know what I did? Take this. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to spend the day with my wife. We're going to go shopping. I got a truck to carry it in. I'm pretty sure we got money. I'll find out if we don't. What's the problem? You want to... Okay, let me give you the secret on keeping the devil basically away from you as much as possible. Let everything he does to you or around you or at you, turn it into some kind of thing where you get to beat him back in the face with it. At some point, I mean, even the devil, I mean, he's ignorant, stupid, all that kind of stuff. But at some, you know, even a dumb squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. And this guy, if you punch him in the face enough, at some point he'll just be like, I guess I'll... Your stupid head. Anybody hear? Like that distant thing from the enemy that he tried to launch at me, but we all know that I know my identity, so it didn't even register because I have the wisdom of God. If he's all up in your beeswax and he's always meddling with stuff, it's just because you ain't punched him hard enough. Just punch him harder. With the word, the sword of the Spirit. God has pleasure in you prospering. Now reverse it. What does that mean? If you take this verse, this is a great Bible study technique, by the way, for those of you that really want to know the Word of God and the heart of God. Take scriptures like this and reverse them. And it will bring you a lot of revelation. So in other words, it hurts God for you to be poor and in poverty in any area of your life. For you to be sick. It hurts God. Again, parents, does it hurt you when your kids hurt? Yeah. I've had to be in the hospital with both my kids. And there was one time we were in there with Gunner. He decided to headbutt a fishbowl. That's what kids do. Take that. And he had glass in his face. Shards of glass literally sticking out of his face, and it missed his eye. It was so incredible. Even in the bad, it was great. And they had, when they took him into the hospital, they literally had to papoose him. If anybody knows what that means. They tied him down so much that his face turned red from the circulation being cut up. They had to papoose him because they had to pull glass out of his face. And they had to squeeze and look for pieces that was... And I was like, whoop! I'm... Again, not braggadocious, but I'm like a strong guy, like blood and guts and all, you know, that stuff doesn't, I can gut a deer and, you know, drink Dr. Pepper while I do it. Got a little blood in there. Like, it doesn't bother me, but when it was happening to my boy, I'm like, oh, baby.
I went outside, took 100 really good deep breaths, and came back in, and Kay said, "Oh, baby." And Kay had him in blood and, you know, I don't know, maybe explain it. Like, that didn't bother her. All this, from the birth, no problem. But seeing him do the thing with the blood and the pus and listening to him scream, it was hurting him so bad that he was resisting. I don't even know how to explain it. He resisted or was so flexed or whatever that he literally broke all the blood vessels in his face. His entire face turned black and blue from the struggle that he was because he was papoosed. And they were trying to find all this glass. I mean, this is just some little physical thing. Imagine what God experiences when you go day after day after day in misery and hurt and pain and depression and oppression and poverty and bad relationships and unforgiveness, strife, day after day after day. Especially after he shed blood, so you wouldn't have to. It hurts the heart of God for you not to be in prosperity. Now listen, and I don't want to go there because it's kind of deep, but this says that he has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. A servant. You know, you're more than a servant. So magnify that times son and daughter. It hurts God's heart and it does not glorify God. And you will not be saying continually good things about God if you are experiencing the reverse of this. The word for prosperous in dictionary.com is successful, flourishing, or thriving condition. Especially in financial respects. Good fortune. Merriam-Webster says, enjoying vigorous and healthy growth. You know, you are not prospering if you're just equal to what you were last year. Now look, I'm not looking at anybody, picking on anybody. I'm going to look at the clock that tells me I'm done preaching. If your income is less than it was last year, and I want to put a couple of asterisks on that because our income, tax-wise, like our income tax-wise, our income is way less than it was 12 years ago when I was a big wig in a big company. But we live more prosperous today than we ever did back then. It's amazing. I had a way good six-figure salary, and we were broke all the time. I'm telling you, we were broke all the time. I literally started businesses so I had enough money to buy minnows to go fishing. Because my six-figure income couldn't provide minnows for me. It was demonic. It was literally demonic. And I'm telling you that this happens all the time. I know people that make six, seven, eight, 10 times the amount of money that Kay and I did, and live 10 times worse. If I told you what our income is, you guys would be shocked. Enjoying vigorous and healthy growth. Better this year than last year. Better next year than this year. Not just in money. In relationships, in health, in soul prosperity, in joy, in peace. Listen, in revelation. If you're living from that one revelation that you got, you know, 8 years ago, that over that one verse, and you can now quote it, you ain't even got a clue. God wants to tell you something. When I'm done preaching, when I finally shut up and God gets to talk to you in a personal way, God wants to tell you things that will make all of my entire awesome, amazing, revelatory sermon. Oh, thank you, Josiah. The one person that appreciates my message. God can tell you something in like 5 seconds that can make all this. I mean, I believe that God's speaking to you through me. But God can tell you one thing and it would just change your life. Now listen, He doesn't want it. It's not just like He wants to do that one time, you know, once every 10 years. He wants to do that one time once every 10 minutes. From glory to glory.
from faith to faith. That's God's intention for you. Now, again, you can resist this. No, no, we need to suffer and we need to be persecuted and we need to be put down. We need to be, okay, well, fine, go on with your bad self. Or you can allow His suffering to be your suffering. You can allow His cross to be your cross and you can take up your cross with His cross and let His sacrifice be your sacrifice. Vine says that the soul, this is the place that prosperity needs to take place to affect the rest of these things, is the seat of the sentient element in man, or that by which he sees, reflects, feels, and desires. Here's my little secret. I actually wrote on here transparency time. Here's my little secret. I'm a leader. I've been a leader for many, many years, and I'm actually getting really good at it now because I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to create in me the kind of leadership that He's wanted me to do. So I'm a leader, and I'm actually becoming a leader of leaders. And here's my secret to leadership. And if any of you in here desire to be a leader, listen to me. This is a great secret. My success, my destiny, and my personal success is going to be you being successful. If you're not, you know, we have so many leaders that have nobody following them. If you're a leader and you turn around and nobody's following you, you're not a leader, you're just out for a walk. Like a dog. But if you turn around and folks are following you, if I'm growing and you're growing, if I'm growing and the church is growing, if I'm gaining health, if I'm gaining wealth and you're gaining health and wealth, now I'm actually leading because where I'm going, we're going. But if I got really rich and you guys got super broke, we'd all say, you know, this is a pyramid scheme. We need to shut the church down. And I would agree. If I'm getting wealthy and you're getting broke, something's broke. So here's my secret. My destiny is your success. Hey, leaders, your success is their success. You don't get to kill a bunch of folks on your way up the corporate ladder and step on all the carnage and the dead bodies of the people that you decided to murder on your way up. That's how the world does that. Jesus said, this is how the world leads. The world leads by demanding and commanding and all. That's not how we lead. We lead by serving. You serve folks, they'll follow you. That would work really great in your marriage, those of you that are married. My pleasure is your prosperity. Like, I get this verse. Because when you guys tell me testimonies, and a bunch of you do, and God bless you, and thank you so much. I love to hear it. When you tell me testimonies of things that go on, like some of you can't even like wait. Like, we only been back a couple of days, and folks are like, hey, let me tell you some stuff. And I'm like, hey, man, hold on. Okay. But I love it. It's fuel to the flame of my stove. It's, tell me the testimonies. Tell me the great things that God's doing in your life. Let me, because it's, especially when I'm not here, because that means that we're creating something that is a legacy that has nothing to do with me. We're actually creating a culture, and you're experiencing great things from a culture and not through me. I know that your success and prosperity is a derivative of your soul health. When I see you prospering, when I see great things starting to take place in your life, when I see like the Smiths who have doubled or tripled their income just in a few years, when you see these things starting to happen, you're like, man, it's like really happening. Their souls are being transformed. It's not just about the money. Their souls are being transformed. It's not just that they get less colds. Their souls are being transformed. Things are happening on the inside of them that are producing all this fruit on the outside. It's beautiful. I know that the success and prosperity is a derivative of your soul. And specifically your soul's health. I know this as a leader. Almost everything I say and do has the underlying purpose of leading you into soul prosperity and maturity. I can actually help you get counsel from me without actually getting counsel from me. Watch this.
I'm going to give you a trick. If it's going to prosper your soul, that's what I'm going to say. So you can actually think, like, even before you meet with me, what would Steve say that would affect my soul, that would change something in my soul? Because that's probably what he's going to say, because that's what's going to change circumstances in my life. Hey, guess what irritates a lot of people when I meet with them? Because I say something to them about their soul. It's like this conundrum that I'm like, Lord? And every time I complain, Jesus is like, yeah, I know, I did ministry. People stayed offended at Jesus. Way more people were offended at Jesus than me. I don't even get to complain. He offended people in multiple different segments of what he still does. The government hates him. Just absolutely hate. That's why they keep trying to change it. Well, Jesus was tolerant. What Bible have you read? Tolerant? He had a whip. He made it. Tolerant? Dear Jesus. He wasn't tolerant. He was accepting. I hear people all the time say, well, Jesus hung out with the prostitutes and the drunks to change them. But I can't believe I got to say that sometimes to people. Look, he didn't go hang out with them. Hey, pass them here, buddy. Hey, how much does it cost for the prostitute? It's not Jesus. Jesus met with these people to change them. If you're hanging out with sinners, great, change them. When they're changing you, you're not doing what Jesus did. Amen. Can't believe I got to say that. This is the greatest way that you could ever lead anybody, is speak into the things of their soul to bring levels of... This requires repentance. Nearly every time I meet with someone, especially when there's issues in their life, we are going to get into a conversation that's going to require repentance. Because you got you there. Amen. Jesus didn't put you there. And it is immature to blame the devil. Yeah. You got you there. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go into wherever that turn was, and I'm going to speak into it. And I'm going to tell you who you are in Christ and who you are not allowed to be. And I'm going to turn on it, and hopefully you're just going to let it go, and it's going to snap and break, and we'll throw that sucker away, and we're never going to let it come back in. Yeah. Then prosperity flows because your soul is healthy. Your soul is successful. So everything else happens. Hallelujah. All right. I wonder if one of you stood up. Dennis, you might. I don't know. You have to preach it like every week or something. All right. Please rise. I would love to bless you.